We want to welcome all who are here. We want to talk first about the presentation of the proposed 2018 budget, proposed rate increase, annexation of Sheep Creek Cluster 4, annexation of Summit Mountain Holding Group Phase 1. So we'll begin, Paul, with the 2018 budget, proposed budget.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 2018 proposed budget is our read it right side up instead of upside down.
Now, why do you get like, why do you get like a monstrous one, and I get one that's so small I can't see it with
you have your glasses.
Eagle eye? I can.
I'm older than you.
Bring that on TV.
We've done that before. So right, the way we have it set up right now, Mr. Chairman, is we have a proposed total operational revenue of $645,297. We have a total operational expense of $534,600. And then on top of that, we have an additional capital improvement cost of $259,000. We may have a cash revenue plus cash balance at the end of this year, of this next year, of $152,000 roughly. We may, but you know, as things have gone in the past, probably not, because there are always these unforeseen things. Now, that's the summary of the budget. In general, what we have done is we have anticipated the integration of the Summit development assets, which includes operation for a partial year, possibly, of the new Bloomington well, possibly, I add, but we've made some allocation for that, small allocation. Power costs are huge for these things, and so we have that integrated. We also have integrated the cost of operating the sewer lift stations. Now, they will come in on a staged basis, and there's some more work that we've got to do with Summit to get some of those that were damaged by snow cats and other things repaired before we can take possession of them. But we have those planned for. We're converting all of those lift stations, the sewer lift stations, to have telemetry systems, and there will be the operating cost of that. And then the other thing that we've done is we've taken away, up till now and through the end of this year, Summit has paid half the cost of the district manager. That is now being taken over by the district 100%, so we won't be billing Summit for half the cost of the district manager's fee. And then we also now are taking on a full-time employee. We're converting our half-time employee to a full-time employee with benefits, with insurance, with a vehicle, an additional new vehicle. So that's it in summary. There could be a lot of detail that we could talk about on all of this, but I've given you the global numbers, and I've given you the some of the highlights of what's involved in that budget that we've thrashed through now for the last 4 months, I'll say. So what that means, Terry, where's the rate page? Just 1 second, I'll have it for you here. No, not that. This one. Okay. So this is what it means, and this is what some of the representatives are concerned about. Right now, we're proposing for Summit Powder Mountain, as it's called, and this is the red. It's under tab 9, everybody. In the red, Summit Powder Mountain water rates would go from $44 to $70 per month. The, as we call it, the original district, those that in water, those would be just those setting up on the mountain mostly. There aren't any water customers down in the, as I call it, the lower valley. It goes from $44 to $52.50 per month. The sewer charges go from, in the Summit Powder Mountain area, would go from $44 a month to $63 per month. And in the original district, which would include the, as we call it, the Sheep Creek area, or I call it the Lower Valley, it goes from $44 to $47.25 per month. That's what's been proposed. That gives us the necessary coverage. Of course, we're taking on a bond for starting next year for the $1 million for the new well that we'll start drilling first break of weather next spring. And we have the bond payment and also the necessary bond coverage, you know, balances that we have to maintain for that bond, you know, for the financial security of that bond, which is all calibrated in this combined coverage table that everybody has there, has access to this big spreadsheet that I have a bigger one of. So if somebody wants to look at the bigger one, I'm glad to share. So that's it in brief. Okay.
Well, we are, you know, in a different situation than we are generally in board meetings where we're in a public hearing. So anyone who's here can, you know, could be part of this discussion and have it, because it's been posted to have a public hearing on this issue. So along the way, if there are individuals who would like to comment, please let me know. So
I'd like
to. Okay, go ahead. Sure.
I'm Dustin Hagelson, Powder Mountain. We passed out a letter from Clyde Snow to represent Powder Mountain. The kind of the main reason for comment is pretty much a uniformly 33% fee increase in fee compared to the original district that some Powder Mountain customers will need to pay, and then that rate increases dramatically for some customers through 2024, and so. In this letter, kind of in short, it says, under Utah law, fees charged for water and sewer service must reflect the reasonable estimated cost of delivering the services for which the fees are being charged. And so we're requesting that before the rate increase is imposed and adopted, that the district provide a statement of each itemized fee and the calculation method for each fee, particularly with respect each fee, also any studies, reports, or methods. Basically, there's no methodology that is, or information that's been given out justifying the difference in fees. And then I just also want to note in our development agreement, there's a section there that says in 6.7.3 district. That we're required to,
The district and the district standard service fees, charges, and assessments, including a hookup fee, as imposed for said services, is the same manner as other district customers. Is that what you're referencing?
That's it, yeah.
I know historically from over like the course of the period of the sewer district that it was always dependent on how far up the canyon it was, like the things that were like down in the valley floor were run price. If it was at like the Sundown condos, you know, it was more considered to be right up at the mountain and then beyond there. And so they had a little higher rate for, they figured they had to use longer, more of the sewer lines. And so they adjusted it based on where it was compared to like Snowflake subdivision when we put that in, compared to like Powder Mountain West. It was prorated for like the far, you know, how far up the system they were.
I think that's a fair comment that there are going to be different charges. Sorry, I'm Cody Peter working with the Summit. Reviewing their rates, it's a fair comment to say if it costs more, the district should charge people more. I think that's what the statute's recommending. But when you look at this rate table you provided, if you look at this, for example, the $70 that Summit Powder Mountain would pay versus the $52.50 that the original district would pay, if you do the differential between those two and you do it all the way down, so that each of the tiers, the condos, and the sewer reservation fees, each of those is a 33% differential. So what we're suggesting is, it doesn't seem like what the expenses that are being subject to or being allocated towards Summit Powder Mountain are all exactly 33%. It doesn't, that just doesn't seem rational that, that everything could be that uniform in its expense.
Well, we'll also say, if we just want to see the methodology, we might look at it and go, that makes all the sense in the world. Absolutely. We follow where you're coming from, but you know, we just haven't seen it. And I think we should, you know, we have the opportunity to review the methodology before we say yay or nay.
Everybody's looking at me, so I'll respond.
Yeah.
I closed the door, I could leave. Let me admit this to you. I've been doing this for this district for about a year and a half. This, you know, we're just completing our full year, and you can tell that I'm even struggling with the budget we have right now in terms of the fact that you know, we've got costs that I couldn't have guessed what they were. The information that I had prior was junk. Matter of fact, it was non-existent. You know, when you say methodology is built upon history, and you know, you go, okay, well, I've got this history, so I can use this as a basis for coming to that. I have no history. I have no basis for figuring this other than 1 year's operation, and at that, I'm going to call it a bit of an outlier, because you know, at the rate we're starting right now, I would hope we get as much snow as we did last year, but I'm going to lay odds that we're not. And so we may not have as much runoff. I may not be pumping the world to the same fashion that I was last spring, nonstop, 24 hours a day, burned out pumps, you know, sewer lift station pumps, trying to stay up with it, working nights and weekends. I'm hoping that we don't have it quite that bad. So, to be honest with you, I have no basis, because all I can do is I can say, well, let's see, it took this, and I think it's going to take that, and we're going to bring on, we've got more operating expense on top of the mountain than we do down in the valley, and that's all I can do at this particular point. Glad to go through this line item by line item. I can bring Matt Millis in, and we'll sit down, and we'll go over it line by line with you, and tell you how we guessed at things to some extent, and what we have a basis for or 1 year's history on. I'm not as lucky as some of my clients that our firm has serviced for 50 years, and we've got a dang good track record on them, and we know exactly what it's going to take. But they're out in the flat on Salt Lake Valley, not up on the mountain.
That's
so
fair. I mean, that's fair to hear. That's why we should go with 3 instead of 33.
Yeah. Why don't you talk to Greg Greer?
And what's he going to tell me?
I don't know. I think you should talk with him. They paid him a whole bunch of money to run the water and sewer district.
I'm sure they did, and they did things. They did things in a very to be very frank. It was, what does it take to operate it today, and let's not worry about making investment in the future. Built into this budget, and now of course, you know, on top of the mountain, that isn't quite the issue. Other than we're conveying sewage down the mountain. And I've got to take care of those sewer lines going down the mountain. And last spring, we had a clog on a manhole up by the Sundown condominiums. Sundown. And that was a plug, and it cost us one heck of a lot of money to fix that. Surprise, surprise. So you see what I'm saying? I've got those kind of issues that I've got to start taking care of, and I've got to do more maintenance than was done heretofore, ever done on this system, ever done. I mean, this system is the worst system, the existing system, is the worst system that I've ever seen in my 40 years of being a professional engineer. So we've got some work to do to get this thing up to snuff so that we can have a reasonable replacement schedule on things.
Does that seem reasonable that we can review some statement that provides the reasoning for the discrepancy?
Like I say, I'd be glad to sit down with you guys and bring Matt Millis in, and we can go through this thing item by item, and I can show you where we guessed and where we didn't guess, okay?
I think that'd be great if we could do that, take that opportunity and sit down, and just, you know, if we could, then we could communicate that internally, and everyone's on the same page as to how we came up with this number. And if we're going to challenge it, then we can challenge it.
Is there a certain area that divides, like, is there a certain spot where you talk to, like, well, once you go past Powder Ridge, it's this price, or is there like a delineating line?
Yeah, that's, we call it the old district versus Summit Powder Mountain. Okay, so anything that Summit Powder Mountain has platted is in the Summit Powder Mountain area and the old district.
The other property, like we have some up at the top of Gerson that's out towards the village. Mm-hmm. In that area, is that the same?
That's still called the old district in my, in our estimation. That's where the dividing line is.
So, I mean, it doesn't have any built on it yet. It's just a period of what rate it would be. Yeah.
Well, it, you know, it, it depends upon what system it ties into. And, you know, that's down the road. And so I had to put something together. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
and
that's fair. It's a good start, probably a good starting point.
Yeah.
Is it, does that seem reasonable to be able to look at those before it's started?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll like I say, I'll,
we're amending in any case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come in. We'll show you what we're dealing with, and I'll show you where my assumptions are, you know, and if you say, well, you know, and if we're wrong, we'll be back, you know, because we can't post a negative. We've got to come in on budget. Yeah, so. Sure. I'm trying to do, you know, the other thing I'm trying to do, gentlemen, is I'm trying to go through the bloodletting once and not come back 3 months from now and then 6 months from now and then, and I'm exaggerating, yeah. But you know what I'm saying, and say, oh, whoops.
No, that's all we're asking for. That's awesome. If we could do that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir. You haven't spoken yet, so state your name for the record so that we know who it is. Okay?
Craig Holgate.
Okay. Craig, you can come sit at the table if you want. You're welcome.
You both can. When I looked at the water rates,
yeah,
and then I looked at the things that were not addressed, such as the new infrastructure for the well that's yet to be drilled.
Yeah.
And then I had questions about the well, and you know, all this stuff costs money. I understand that.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I look at the budget, and it goes all the way out to 2024. And then my questions were, how do you make the budget, or predict the budget, okay, when you haven't even made a prediction on the cost of something like the infrastructure to bring the water up from the new well? It's not even drilled yet. And you have to do a test well and a production well, and does the $1.4 million cover both, one, or the production well or the first well?
It, what that $1.4 million covers is it covers the test well, and then the proving up of that well, in other words, the testing, you know, to see what we're going to produce, and then it covers the production well, and it covers the well house design and construction.
Right, but okay. Then following in after that, my question is really about looking at the projection rates.
I know.
Beginning, let's say, with 2019.
Mm-hmm.
If we have nothing figured in there for the cost of the infrastructure to bring the water up,
right,
won't that throw this totally out?
Yeah. Here's the dilemma. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. And so I decided to be damned if I don't. And that is, I don't, since we really don't know what that well will produce because it doesn't exist at this point, we didn't go to the effort of projecting and even ballparking a water line up the canyon yet, because I don't know what I'm going to be pumping. I would like to eliminate, as you remember, under the old system, we had three booster stations at Pizzle Springs, one in the middle, another one up most of the way to get it to where it needed to go. I'd like to cut one of those out just to cut power costs, but I don't know what I'm pumping yet. I don't know that I am going to be pumping, and so we haven't gone to the expense of designing that yet and trying to put a cost estimate to it at this particular point. And frankly, the other thing that happened is because of budget constraints, I just had to stop for this year, and we'll start at the first of next year. We will have to go out, my plan is to go out and borrow money again for that, to go to, hopefully maybe the state will give us, and I think they may, give us an additional funding allocation to borrow money to put that line up the canyon, and then we'll amortize it. And yes, there
so
have to be adjustments.
What you're really telling me is probably 2019 through 2024. Oh.
Maybe we'll make it to 19. I'm sorry. That's the best I can do right now, you know.
I have one question. I see on here reservation fees. Could you tell me what is the basis, not the basis of charging, but is that on every platted lot? Or mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a question. And this is a general question mainly to the county commissioners.
Can you do me a favor and state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Steve Erickson. And I have a home at Paramount.
Thank you.
So this is a general question that I need to understand, and it basically goes to the county commission. Why is Summit not paying for this more or in total as opposed to the residents? I mean, I've had a home up there for 20 years. We got along fine with Pizzle Springs. We got along fine with the sewer district. I know that there probably was not the maintenance done that should have been done. However, we were paying fees all along. And I think that needs to be looked at. But why isn't Summit paying for this? Because, you know, this is mainly to support their development. We were getting along fine with what was there until the state got involved, and now Summit doesn't have adequate water for their subdivision or their proposed phase one. So I'd like somebody to answer that.
Steve, you and I are neighbors, and we know the state of our water and sewer. It's 40 years old. There's multiple consistent failures on the sewer side. The water side is probably inadequate for full build out in our neighborhood. So
I understand that, Bob. So, but the point is, uh-huh. We're not going to see full build out maybe ever. We got 20 homes up there.
Uh-huh.
So the question goes to, why are we paying all of this, the tremendous increase that's occurring, mainly to support Summit's phase one? That's why we're doing this.
Can I jump in, Bob?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Oh, sure, Jim.
I'm going to tell you as a new member to this and a fresh set of eyes, Mr. Stewart, is it Stewart, is that correct?
Erickson,
sorry. You've got, let's remove Summit from the conversation for just a moment. And let's say you've got it's just your same 20 homes up the hill. What I've witnessed is you've got a system that's failing or failed on both the water side and the sewer side. So now take those expenses and divide it by 20. If you've got a vehicle that goes down, you got to buy a new car. That's all there is to it to get to the top of the hill. And from 40 years ago, when I was buying a new car, to today, when you buy a new car, the prices are 10 times what they are, plus the fact of trying to find the labor. And the cost of everything incrementally has gone up so much. Unfortunately, what I've seen, because I've been up there and been a part of pulling lids and inspected power stations and infrastructure. I don't have a lot of experience, but I've got 29 years of construction experience. Got a little bit of taste there. Out of the park as far as the cost of doing stuff in every trade, whether that's moving iron up the top of the hill to dig a hole or a ditch, or whether that's putting in, you can't buy copper anymore for anything decent like it was 40 years ago. You can't buy, everything's changed. If we took those costs and put it to all you folks, I don't know what the numbers would be, but my guess is immaterial what Summit is. And I've been hard on Summit. That's been
said lightly. Because I want them to be a responsible neighbor. But I think you take all those costs just to service your same 20 and maybe a few more that are going up there with sewer. You're talking about something that's not sustainable by anybody. And I would guess you'd be paying $200 a month minimum to hope that you get to a bond if you even could. That's just, and I'm just floating around numbers. That's just, I could be wrong there, but that to me is the answer to that question as I think about this from a broader perspective. I want you to know something. That's my opinion. I don't know what my other two commissioners have, but that's my opinion with regards to that particular project there. With all due respect, I mean, that just is what happens. And I don't know how else to explain it to you. And not because I've been up there with Paul or anybody else, I've done my own work. I've put my homework in. I've been up there alone under cloak. Nobody knows I've been up there and looked around.
Oh, they know. They know.
Well, I'm just saying that's I own those comments. Those are mine. And so this to me provides you a sustainability to protect your investment up there for longer. And I realize it's a pain. I hate it. But it's a lot less than what it could be. And I could throw numbers together, but it would be astronomical as far as what I've seen. That's just my opinion. Did I do that?
One other phrase that she used that I'd just like to clarify for you. I think you have the impression that we're drilling a new well because Summit needs the new well, and I think you said that Summit doesn't have enough water to supply their first phase, which is 154 lots. The well that they drilled, which is called Hidden Lake Well, that, by the way, you're using water from that right now.
Yes, I understand.
Has enough capacity to handle more than 154 lots. It will produce the water that they need. You are correct in that the state did shut down Pizzle Springs. But Pizzle Springs was, their process is a two-year process. They test, and it has to be every spring. They tested in the spring the year before, and then finally the year that I stepped in to manage, they come in and they say, well, the Giardia is high, shut it down. You can't use it for a drinking source. I remember well, it was a Friday afternoon. I'm thinking, what in the heck am I going to do on a Friday afternoon to give everybody water and not violate the state's stop use order? Well, fortunately, Hidden Lake Well was available, and we were able to flip some switches quickly and do some quick gerrymandering to keep water flowing to all of you. So it isn't because of Summit, it's because the old district needs a source, needs a safe drinking water source. That's why we're drilling the well. No other reason. Now, if we have excess capacity, then that's a different story. But right now, we're drilling that well to supply water to you and your neighbors.
What the state said as far as the quality of water report, they didn't indicate any pathogens in what I read.
Okay.
But is that incorrect?
That's incorrect.
Okay.
My only thing else too that I just wanted to comment on, we may have ruined it for the next generation, but I was doing a lot more things 40 years ago. There's a lot more rules now that I'm 40 years down the road than there was 40 years ago. I mean, there's a ton more rules, and we've been found out. I mean, things that we didn't even think could be a possibility 40 years ago are now in law, and you got all these penalties and all this other stuff. So all that combined with everything, those are the basis by which I make my decisions. And would I like to do some things I did as a 15-year-old? In that frame, absolutely still. I still got the juvenile delinquent. You can see that little bit of hint in my eye that juvenile delinquency is still there. But you just can't.
I'd just like to point out that we did not gerrymander anything. We did not gerrymander anything. We may have jerry-rigged something for a short period of time. But I'm having a phone call. The only thing that I would say is when I first came on as a trustee,
district gerrymander,
my first couple meetings, we had a failed water source that was being closed by the state. We were delivering water top on the mountain that was coming out muddy and dirty, wasn't drinkable. We were told that we were going to get shut down as a district because we needed a second real source. And none of these initial catastrophic events had anything to do with providing either water or sewer to Summit. And so a lot of the initial first steps, and Commissioner Gibson was around for more of this, so he can probably give more historical information, but was to get the district up and running and being ran in a professional manner that met state standards. And that's what we were finding initially, is there were a bunch of different things we weren't doing that were meeting state standards. And then we had a little incident where we had to truck some water up for whatever reason, and then it brought the eye of the state really directly down onto the district. And that's when you started to see some specific requirements that we had to meet, which again, at the end of the day, cost us some money. So I know that there's a common misconception that all this is being driven by Summit, but I will tell you that Summit has been required and or asked to meet certain standards and to, I think, deliver financially the components and pay for those components at a level that I think we haven't asked other developers to do at times, and they've been willing to do that. That being said, there's some things that they need to work on, and we're in continual conversations with them to make sure they meet all those requirements on water and development agreement, moving all that forward. So Jim is very accurate. Jim and Bob have kept a very focused eye on Summit to make sure that those things are happening. I feel very comfortable telling you that dollars, there's no subsidy for the old district in any of this. The old district customers, the fee schedule will reflect the needed improvements and the required improvements by law, and that's why I feel comfortable with what was presented through Mr. Hurst.
I think I was just going to add that I think there's probably, it sounds to me like from earlier comments, there might even be a difference of opinion in the other direction from some that they feel like they're paying a more proportionate share than the old district. And I think that's the problem here. I think one thing that's fair that we have to admit is that this district was, how do I say the word, broke, and not bankrupt, broke, and it was, and
financial,
it was a mess.
Need
I
a
mean,
financial
not just financially, but the facilities, as Bob and Trustee Ebert both pointed out, and I guess there comes a point when trustees need to decide if we are to take it into a place where customers can have total confidence, because I think that's what was lacking, is confidence in the customers that the district could meet those basic needs and those basic requirements, and that they could actually find information and financial information, all that kind of stuff that would justify their actions. Sometimes to do that, it's expensive, and we don't want to be any more cost prohibitive on residents than we have to, but we're trying to find that balance, and this is a stab at it. I'll be honest, that's what public hearings are for, and I'm glad to hear that perspective. I'm glad to hear all the perspectives. We may not even take action today. I don't know if we will or won't, but those are the types of things that we need to hear in order to balance where this break point is, and to be able to justify, okay, this particular home or development is this much higher up the hill, so here's how we come up with this formula. That's what I'm wrestling with as I try and go through this process.
Sure. I don't know, tonight or in a month or 3 months, you know, I don't mean to get hooked on words, but total confidence may not be achievable. But are we in a, that's fair, but are we in a better place today than we were 15, 18 months ago? And I would say, based on what I've looked, I can't answer that 15, 18 months ago, but I can say 10 months ago, I see sitting around me people who are genuinely interested in doing the right thing for the right reasons. and now's the time. And so that's where I'm driving my confidence from. And the things I've seen from the past and what I've learned from just listening on the Hill, it makes good sense to me. So you pointed out Commissioner's response for some reason. I wish that Jennifer were here. I wish, but Bob's got valuable input on that as well with regards to the history of how things are going, where we were to where we are now. Is there more confidence today than there was 15, 18 months ago? And if so, then that's the that's a good direction to move in rather than less. And so that'd be probably the conclusion of my comments on that.
I appreciate what you said, and you shed a good perspective on this in that there's more people available to pay for the improvements that are necessary. I know the system is in failure. I mean, that's obvious to anybody that's been there and looked at the system. So I realize that's in failure. And I also appreciate the fact that there's more people available to pay for these improvements. That, you know, that's a very valid observation. I have another question, though, and then you guys can move on. My other question is, so there's 54 lots in our subdivision, Powder Mountain West, or 52. Everybody is required to pay the water and sewer fees. Perhaps they're paying non-connected fees for the people who own a lot that haven't built. Is the same thing occurring to the lots that are at Summit? Are they all paying the non-connected fees also?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Mike, I have a question that's related to that, as it relates to your budget. We're trying to track down, like, my name's Jamie Lithgow, and I've done a lot of real estate up in that Powder Mountain West subdivision and worked with the Water Sewer District for a long time. And a lot of the lots that are in Powder Mountain West were developed by the district at a certain point when they ended up taking this property back after this sewer bond defaulted. They had about 20 lots that sold. And then the other lots were, you know, originally most of them developed by my family when we owned the Moose Ski Resort. And the subdivision was put in before the district was formed. The first phase was before, and I found some documents that just basically say when you guys are, you know, form the district, you guys will be part of it. You'll join into it. You'll have to pay the fees as whatever they are related to. And I think a lot of the people have paid some fees, and I think there's people that have connections that you may be having your budget that they're gonna have to pay connections again in those other phases other than the ones that the district included, you know, when they sold them in the first place. As well as Powder 11 subdivision, which is about 7 lots, and there's 4 homes there, and there's 3 unbuilt on lots. And I just don't want you to think that that if those things are already paid for or they're already included, that your budget may be affected by fees you think you're gonna collect, but that the people already, you know, have the connections or whatever paid for, you know. So when we try to backtrack and find the evidence, like say, like for Powder 11, I own a lot in there and I haven't built on it yet, but I developed the subdivision, and I'm sure that when we build the other houses in there, that the developer bought all the connections and sold them with the lots. You got the water, I think, from our family, and the sewer from the sewer district. And like, I don't want you to think that you're gonna have my $11,000 or whatever if I went to build on my lot. You know, if I have already, I'll just backtrack and say, hey, look, here's what he paid, $60,000 or whatever, for all of them, and they were all for all the lots, not just for the, you know, one house at a time. So it could affect a lot, you know, it could add up to a lot of fees that are already, you know, through the coffers and along the way.
Well, thank you for that information.
And then I was going to say, too, I think over time, our sewer and water fees should have gone up more in the past. I don't think they've gone up enough to over time, you know. So I think that you have to play catch up a little bit. And I think that the just general, if I had to just guess and say how much more should the properties up the canyon, you know, more pay, a third more is a good stab. I'd say a quarter to a third more, somewhere around there's a good stab in the dark. I don't know. Perspective wise, but I really do think that that there is some backlog, like, because all this stuff was put in so long ago that's starting to wear out. As you know, you'll end up having a lot of costs related to that, and the storm water and the storm, the way the winter was, of course everyone's going to be way out of budget on, you know, just because of the amount of water that would end up going in a manhole or whatever would cause problems. So that's just my perspective from, you know, having a history in it. So
good comments. What else, Paul? I mean, you've laid it out. I mean,
you could close the meeting and decide what you want to do and go
we've
on.
Still got two more public hearing items.
Okay. Oh, two more public hearing items.
Right.
Let's move on to
Sheep Creek.
To those items then, to the Sheep Creek increase. Go ahead.
Rachel, would you mind?
Yeah, this is real quick. The Sheep Creek Cluster Phase 4, I can't remember how it came to our attention, but we found in our records that these folks had petitioned to join the district. Do you remember what year it was, Carrie?
2006.
2006. And the board did approve the annexation, but never did the follow through with actually getting things sent to Lieutenant Governor. And it's been so long that we kind of have to restart the process. So what we're doing tonight is there's a procedure under the law that allows you to pursue an annexation if you have been providing service to an area for over 12 months, which certainly is the case here. So the fact of the matter is they are being served by the district, but they are not within the boundaries of the district. So we're correcting that today.
Sure.
And so we're required to do a public hearing. So if anyone has comments on that.
I think I was at the meeting. I remember when they became part of the district, and the district was a little hesitant, but they needed money to try to help with infrastructure, so they, you know, they brought them in, and I would say they assumed they have been in the district this whole time.
I think
probably
that's the case.
Probably no one even knew, like, and I sell real estate right in around there, like, I wouldn't even know that it wasn't already in there correctly, so it makes sense that you guys should be able to get it. Nobody, like, it doesn't make sense to really absorb it, you know.
How long ago was this?
Great.
2006.
Okay.
2006.
Okay. Any other public comment on the Sheep Creek then? Okay, next on the...
I do have a comment. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Brent.
I'd like to say I appreciate the efforts of the board in trying to correct errors from the past.
Thank you. Oh, that's so good.
We
feel so good now.
Thank you.
I've been trying to sort out things from the Wolf Creek bankruptcy for the last 5 years. I totally sympathize.
Well, I think it's fair to say that our goal, all of us on the board, I think that's speak for all of us when we say that we hope to leave it in a better place than it was when we got here. So, and that ought to be everyone's goal, whatever they do.
I understand that. I just wanted to say that we have been watching, and we do appreciate that you have had a difficult task, and thank you for tackling it.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Annexation of Summit Holding Group Phase 4.
Phase 1. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
You guys ready for phase 4 yet?
Come on, where's the plans? Let's go.
We went in one compliment from Miranda, and we're in
World's like ready.
Do you want me to comment on that one,
yeah,
too? So, yeah, this one also kind of speaks for itself, annexation of Summit Holding Group Phase 1. This has been long anticipated by the group, part of our development agreement. This was initiated by a petition of the landowners, in this case Summit Holding Group. The law requires that if you have a petition of over 75% of the landowners by both assessed value and property area, then you can do without a public hearing part, but according to Summit's own calculations on their petition that they gave us, they were just shy of that number on, I think it was the assessed value one.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here we are, public hearing on annexation of Summit Holding Group Phase 1.
Okay. Any comments on that one? Okay, great. So without, since we've kind of had this open all the way along, we won't do an official open and close, but is there any other comments in the public hearing before we close the public hearing and move back into our public meeting? Go ahead.
I have a couple suggestions.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
For any projected water rates in the future,
okay,
even if it's only
2 years out, we make any proposal, okay? Only show we have a realistic idea of what we can project, because looking at this again, okay, it's pretty obvious that the years beyond 2019 are just, they're gonna go up. So, and quite frankly, people I know that saw this, okay, and said, well, that's not so bad. And I find it very misleading because the last 4 or 5 years don't really indicate what's probably gonna happen. And I understand you can't say what's gonna happen because you don't really know. But at least just a couple of years and then just say, beyond that, we don't know because we have no idea what our expenses are going to be.
That's a fair. That's
yep.
Fair.
To the defense of us, this isn't point counterpoint. I'll just mention, and I think Mr. Dieter would corroborate this, is that obviously for the sake of the bonding, we need to show that we have some financial viability,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we had to do something for the $1.4 million bond, you know,
right.
And we hadn't projected out that far. I appreciate
it. But to the users, do you have to give the same budget?
We really don't. We could have just cut you off at 18. Yes.
But at least, you know, I can see 18 because we don't know what's going to happen after that.
Thank you. We'll take that in advisement. Thank you.
And then also in connection with this, all this projected water rates, okay, are based upon usage.
Right.
And I have never seen anything in any of the bills, and I went back and looked at, that told me how much I had used.
Mm.
It never said, you know, last reading was blah, 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 and now you're, you know, 4,500 gallons later on. And nobody I talked to has ever seen that, never been in that.
We could
so
do
that. See this in regards to that. Also went back and looked in. Not seeing the number, they must have missed it. I've always been under the impression that the past rates, flat rate, which was quarterly, but now it's monthly, was 8,000 gallons a month, and it now appears to have gone down to 5,000 gallons a month. And therefore, I'm looking at a 37% decrease in the amount of water that I can use, and the rates have gone up. But I understand that, you know, the cash expenses for the district, I mean, really for infrastructure, not actually water, but there was a
Craig, it was for 6,000 gallons a month. It was the
I was pretty sure it was 8 because everybody I talked to said, well, I remember 8, but I couldn't find it anywhere. So.
Okay. Just a point. I don't argue with Bob.
just a point.
Oh, no, I think we're close neighbors, but keep it up. And that was all I had at the moment. Look, actually, also, I had a lot of questions. Actually, I counted 15 questions. And then sitting over here, I was able to answer them by looking at the budget. And I got this far and no budget. So I could have, it would have saved me a lot of time if I'd had a copy of the budget as well as the projected water usage rates.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
I have one other comment, Susan. As far as like trying to know how, like, I know my personal concerns over the system, but not, and I stay pretty close in touch with knowing what's kind of going on, but knowing what you guys think are the main costs and the, like, where's the money, what big things do you have coming up on the horizon that you are worried about in the next, like, little phase of, like, what's going to be breaking next, you know? And just the information out to the general public of what the inner workings are that you guys are concerned with. Because that affects the budget huge. You know, one thing breaks, and it's, and if you want to instill confidence in the end users, you know, being more informed on how you're maintaining the system. Like, I have a sewer lift station in my front yard, and my confidence in how it's working compared to 18 months ago or 5 years ago, I would say 5 years ago I was a lot more confident than I am now, because I think there just hasn't been a transition of information very well to you guys. And I feel bad for, you know, trying to figure out, you know, from not having I don't get advisors to tell you what they did or how they did it, you know. I wish you could go back and get somebody to bring them to put it all in the computer, and they could have a little virtual meeting at the meeting for you, you know, because there's a lot of information in the heads of those guys that did it, you know. It'll save a lot of time and effort, you know.
It's a great comment, and I think as we keep moving forward, we'll make sure that we're responsible first, doing the right things at the right time, but I think you'll see improvements moving forward, even with that. So you'd have the availability of the budget and some of those things online before you even come. Those things, I think, can come eventually.
I was also very impressed with the website change. That made a good way to disseminate information to the people like me, so I thought that was a great improvement recently.
Better boy, Paul.
Good.
Not a girl, Carrie.
Can I make a request that on that website you post your meeting minutes and financials?
They're on there. They're on there. Okay,
great. Yeah. We're required by law.
Yeah, they're on there.
It would also be awfully like a cost that we are addressing. It talks about dilapidated equipment and required ongoing maintenance and repair. I'm assuming I've heard. Over the course of current meetings, I've heard a lot of discussion of the lagoons, and I have not been to the lagoons, so I don't know what was going on there. But in prior years, I know that manhole covers between 10 and 12 a year were repaired, and I have not seen any repaired manhole being done at all in the last year or so.
Oh, there's a lot.
You've missed it, Craig. Yeah.
I missed it?
Yeah, you missed it.
If this budget is approved, just for everyone's information, we have allocated $110,000 for waterline repairs and replacement and $125,000 for sewer system repairs. I'm not saying where, because I don't, you know, but, you know, the dilapidated on a shoestring, on a prayer, water system is, you know, its days are numbered, and so we're going after it if this budget's approved.
And I was going to say, it always has operated on like a negative budget since day one, and since they never built as many as they had planned at Power Ridge, and they've always been about like barely able to meet their, you know, financial needs. So don't feel too bad.
Well, Paul, and if I can. And I don't want to give any more foundation for argument over fee structure, but I think some of this is because we do have more partners at the table who are willing to invest in an old system that is in need of a tremendous amount of infrastructure. And so we're able now to start the process of actually having a capital improvement plan, and that's why some of this budget stretched out, right, to show that we have a capital improvement plan and to set those dollars aside. And so I know that it's easy to maybe look up the mountain and blame, you know, another entity for some of this, but my general feeling is that entity has been a good partner in helping to create a funding stream for some of these much needed improvements. Because when I came on the board as a trustee, I remember sitting next to Commissioner Gibson and leaning over and saying, "We don't even deliver clear water, it's brown water." And he's like, "Yeah, we've got a lot of problems.
Just the right amount of road salt, as I like to say."
And then we had contamination from road salt. And so we've come a long ways, you've got a board here of trustees who are trying to do everything they can. I think we have community partners, Bob and Jennifer and others. I think Summit's been a partner. Do we agree on everything? No. Do we have our hiccups? At times we do, but I think what we're working towards is a district that is solvent and has long term, and it's not shoestringing everything. And so how we get there, sometimes there's some debate, but I think the general direction is where we need to, is where we're going, which is positive.
I move that we go to closed session.
One more suggestion, I think, is actually very important.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Carrie.
Close session, that makes people nervous.
It's real quick. Okay. Prior conversations early in the meeting were about confidence people had in the system,
right?
I.e., the operation system, okay? There's never any information coming to the users from anybody about such things as the waterline repair. Repairs to the system, may I suggest that a quarterly newsletter from the administrator's office, telling the users Here's what we're doing and how we're doing it.
And even giving history, because wells that have been driven, water tanks that have been built, all these types of things, I think if you knew the amount of infrastructure that's happened in the last 2 to 3 years, I think it would amaze you. The millions of dollars worth of infrastructure.
Right. Carrie, nobody knows
about
it.
Carrie's
all
most
this other stuff.
She's going to
take pictures. It'll be on the website.
All right. So the motion I need you to make, Bob, is to adjourn the public hearing and I guess we could have a closed session if you like, but
I move that we adjourn the public hearing and go to closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including informal water right and any pending or reasonably imminent litigation, and it won't take long.
No, I heard the motion.
I will second.
I would suggest that does this affect the budget, you think, or do you think we ought to decide what we're going to do about the budget?
Well, that's the reason I said that's not the motion. I didn't read that through all the way. We shouldn't be talking about the budget in closed session.
I understand that.
Any of those things. So if we're one thing we could do is decide, come out of closed session or out of public hearing, and make a decision as to what we're going to do on the budget, so that individuals could leave.
Let's do that.
Move the closed session down below.
I'll make the motion that we move. I don't know that you need a motion, do you?
We do.
I make the motion we move item G.
Item E to below G.
Okay, that would work too.
Oh, okay,
let's
sorry.
Let's move item.
I need a motion to come out of the public hearing and to go back into the public meeting.
I'll make that motion again.
Can you do that first? To come out of the public hearing.
Into a public meeting.
Okay. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Can you second that?
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Now we're back in the public hearing.
And
so now you can adjust.
I'll second to Bob's other one too.
Okay.
All in one thing.
Okay. Now you can adjust the agenda as you'd like now that we're back in the public meeting.
Then now that we're in the public meeting, I'd like to move item E.
Below G.
Below G.
Okay, perfect. Any second to that?
Second.
Okay, well, we can do that without objection. We don't really need to take a vote on that to adjust something that's on the agenda. So we're back in the public, meeting, and we're in action items under G, discussion and or action on approval of the 2018 budget.
Question?
Yes, sir.
Do we have to adopt the proposed rate increase to adopt the tentative the 2018 proposed budget?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say yes?
Okay. To me, it makes sense that they go together.
Correct.
Because if we don't like the rate structure, it could affect the budget.
So I'll make a motion. We table the decision on the 2018 proposed budget and the proposed rate increase until we can answer some specific questions that have been raised tonight.
Second.
Motion and second to table items number 1 and 2 under action item G. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Item number 3, discussion interaction on the annexation of Sheep Creek Cluster Subdivision Phase 4.
I'll make a motion that we move forward on the annexation of Sheep Creek Cluster. Oh, I apologize.
It's okay, go ahead. I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Discussion interaction on the annexation of Summit Mountain Holding Group Phase 4. Number 1. Yeah, I thought I'd try to catch that a second time. Okay.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
For the Sheep Creek, there's going to have to be a 30-day protest period after this, and then we can adopt it. For the Summit one, we'll need a resolution, which I don't have prepared today, but we can do that next month if you want.
Can we just approve it?
You can approve it now, and we'll
ratify
it, a resolution later, yeah.
Put it into...
Perfect.
So the other one, just make sure it gets back to us.
Yes.
For final approval.
Okay. So this is Summit Phase 1. The resolution will be drafted as per the motion. Did I have a motion on that? I can't remember. Okay.
Is this on the Summit?
By Harvey,
yeah, the Summit.
Seconded by...
Based on ratification, I'll
yes.
second that.
Okay. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. And final item, discussion and interaction on amended 2017 budget.
No action on that.
Okay, perfect. All right, so back to the other motion then that we were waiting for. Commissioner
Bob
Barron?
I request for motion to adjourn the public hearing for a closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including any form of water right, any pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Okay, do I have a second?
Yes.
Okay, motion and a second. Roll call vote. Ebert?
Aye.
Barron?
Aye.
Harvey?
Aye.
And I vote aye. The chair votes aye. We're in closed session. Thank you for being here in public. We appreciate all of you. Thank you.